Just have a time of prayer with God's people. Open your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We'll begin there tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. We've used this as a text in the past, and I will just use that kind of as a springboard tonight.
It's my desire.
We're going to compare a lot of scripture with scripture, so you've had a long day at work and your eyelids are a little heavy. I've been where you are. I've sat where you sit.
It's my desire. To be like him.
2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll jump right in, verse number 15, and we'll read down through verse number 18.
2
Timothy chapter
2,
verse number 15. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there's our phrase, that's the one that we're using, talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. And then we see kind of the results if we fail to.
If you could see where Jesus brought me from, to where I am today, you would know the reason why I love him so.
Father,
now you can
Lord,
take
the world's
wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for him.
Help us to love it. Help us to practice it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Rightly dividing
it's
the word of truth.
Desire.
It's very important. I just want to remind you again that we have balance in our Christian life. Paul gave Timothy many instructions
today,
here in 2 Timothy, in particular chapter number 2.
Someone
verse
who
number
may
3, he said, keep your heart as a good soldier. Verse number 5, he said that if a man strive for mastery, yet he's not found, he said, strive lawfully. Verse 6, he talks about the husbandman, and he gives several
lost,
examples of what the Christian life should be. And one of the things,
not his
the accumulation of the Christian life, but just one of the things that
it's
my desire to
live for
him.
If you could see where
and
Jesus
so
brought me from,
some we're compare
to
maybe
where
a little bit more in detail
I
of the nation of Israel
today,
and the church, and I'll let you see some distinct differences between those two. And while I'm preaching and teaching tonight, you may be thinking, well, what's the practical implication? Life and where
now
I'm at.
You can
and I thought about this text, and one reason I read it again was because some people
riches,
here in verse 18 in this day, they heard the truth of the resurrection,
it's my
but that truth was just placed in the wrong time period, and so people that meant well, they were led astray, and their faith was overthrown, and so if nothing else, then maybe this is proactive
tonight.
Jesus brought
me
from a lot of preaching and teaching that should be proactive. We don't always want it to be crisis preaching and teaching.
Then you would
Now you can
take the
world's
wealth and riches. I don't need earth's
fame.
It's my
desire
to
live
for
him. A couple of times ago, we gave you three principles of rightly dividing
it's
the word of truth, and they were the principle of interpretation. We have to interpret the Bible literally. And so if the Bible is talking about the nation of Israel, it is talking about that nation. If it's talking about the church, it's talking about that church, unless the context dictates otherwise. And there's going to be times when the context is going to tell us exactly what God means. And it may not always appear that way on the surface. Sometimes you have to dig. Jesus told his disciples, he said, search the scriptures. He said, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So we have interpretation. Then we have classification. We have to learn the distinction between the Jew the Gentile in the church of God. And I'll not belabor that. Then we had the principle of transition, how that we have to note that there is a transition when we go from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And in particular, this transition is evident in the book of Acts, how that the Lord goes from a primarily Jewish emphasis on the day of Pentecost early in the book of Acts until later you find that Paul and his missionary teams, they are focused more and more upon the Gentiles and giving the gospel to them. And so there's this shift. There's this emphasis on the Gentiles later in the book of Acts. And then the last time we met, I gave you three words from Romans chapter number 11. And those three words were, number one, the word remnant. How that, you know, all of the nation of Israel, just because they are Jews, just because they are Israel, that doesn't mean that they automatically are saved and they're going to heaven. There is a remnant within that nation that has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Paul is an example of one of those. And so he gives the principle of a remnant in Romans chapter number 11. And then there was the principle of a realignment, and that's that transition, how that God has now Israel's blind. And they're in blindness, and now the focus is on God is calling out a bride, and his bride is predominantly made up of Gentiles. Now, there are some Jewish people that are getting saved. Praise the Lord for that. But the vast majority of people getting saved today are not Jewish people, and that's unfortunate. We're not happy about that, but that's just the truth. And there's a realignment. But then Romans 11 ends with the fact that there's going to be a restoration. And one day, God is going to restore that nation, and he's going to restore the nation of Israel, and we've seen those truths from Romans chapter 11. We talked a little bit about the error, the heresy of replacement theology, how that there's some that teach today that the church has completely replaced Israel. And that's just simply not true. It's very easy to see, because if the church replaced Israel, then that would mean that from the moment the church began in Acts chapter 2, that we would no longer read about the nation of Israel in the New Testament. And we read about the nation of Israel time after time after time again in the New Testament after the church has been started. So that's just clearly taught that the church has not replaced Israel.
We've seen and so those things are very, very obvious.
So tonight our objective is we're going to note the differences between the nation of Israel and the church, and hopefully we'll see some practical implications from looking at those differences. So let's go back and let's look at the book of Genesis chapter 12. So I want you to get Genesis 12. And then also with that, I want you to get Ephesians chapter 3. We went down. That's our state, just our natural state.
We can't do nothing about it. The more we try to lift ourselves up, the deeper we're going to get. The nation of Israel and the church have a different origin.
You fight.
You're trying to try your hardest. You're just going to go down deeper. Genesis this man was chapter going down, 12.
Ephesians chapter 3.
We see him that he was. The thieves left him half dead. And isn't that the story of a sinner before
Now, we know, if you've been in church for any amount of time, you learned this in Sunday school, probably as a boy or a girl, that Abraham was the father of the nation of Israel. And we'll see that the beginning of that nation is right here in Genesis chapter number 12. The Bible says in verse number 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram,
remember what the pastor is, he talked about this.
And Abram, one of his ancestors, was a man by the name of Eber, which is where we get our word Hebrew. And so Abram was the first Hebrew, and God was going to make a great nation. Genesis 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. Abram, I'm going to make of you a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God said, Abram, I'm going
to
make a great nation out of you. And we know that Abram is the father of the nation of Israel. Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and they're the forefathers of that great nation. That's the origin. That's when the nation of Israel started. Now, if you go with me to the book of Ephesians,
the second character we come across,
we know that the church was a mystery. The Old Testament prophets, they didn't understand. They didn't see this idea of a New Testament church. God did not reveal those things to the Old Testament prophets. Jesus, as a matter of fact, he said in Matthew 16:18, he said that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when Jesus told Peter that in Matthew 16, it was future tense. He said, Peter, I will build my church.
The church can do is point you to the one that can make you whole,
maybe
right?
It was in its beginning
we know
stages,
that this man here, he was traveling
the church
same direction.
Began
he
on the day of Pentecost
we understand that, but
two.
We see him
but Jesus
as we
spoke
came
in the future
again,
tense when he said, Peter,
just
I will build my church. So we know that the church
one,
began sometime after that statement. And then sometime after also the Old Testament, Ephesians chapter 3, notice if you will, verse number 5,
the
Bible says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What was it that was not made known? Verse number 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So Paul is letting them know here in Ephesians chapter 3 that this idea of the church, it was a mystery that God gave to the Apostle Paul to reveal to the church.
This man was traveling for a reason.
So we see that the origin of the church was not around in the Old Testament. They have two completely different origins.
He saw him and says he passed by.
Secondly, turn with me if you will to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And then right there in Philippians. So stay close to Ephesians. Go to Philippians 3. And then Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Philippians 3,
behind pulpits,
Deuteronomy 8.
Sunday morning, if they have Sunday night or Wednesday night, but that's all. If you need
not
help,
only are they different in
up,
origin, number
the
two,
hospital,
they are different in their calling.
It's not my duty. That's not
God
in my
had a different plan, a different work
that they don't,
for the nation
they don't
of Israel
time out of
than he has
their,
for
their
his
normal
church
schedule
today. And we're going to see some of those. We
could
turn to
people,
literally
and
dozens
shame
of scriptures,
on us if we get
but I'm just picking and choosing a few tonight that I think
we have such a routine. Routine is good. It's good
so
to live by routine.
Number one, let's see something that God
to plan your days
had in mind for the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, look if you will at verse number 7.
Need help.
Deuteronomy 8,
and
verse
you
number
say,
7.
That breaks my routine. That breaks my schedule. I don't.
This is the calling of the nation of Israel.
Stop to
for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without any scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest eat brass. God said, I am going to give you a land.
The,
that was God's purpose.
Church,
that was God's promise
God,
to the nation of Israel. That was this promise
he
to Abram.
And
he said, I'm going
to
make a great nation out of you. I'm going
to
give you a seed. I'm going to give you a land. And we see that word land mentioned over and over here in Deuteronomy chapter 8.
He
said, I'm going to give you a land. It's going to be fruitful. I'm going to bless you materially. And that's Israel. The nation
keep
of Israel
going.
Is God's earthly people.
And he passed
and their
by
blessings are physical, material blessings that you can see with your eyes, that you can put
help
your hands on, that you can grasp.
He had the same
and one of the practical
don't
reasons why it's important for us to understand is that
don't have time,
you know, God's
don't
promised
care
to take care of our needs.
They're too busy to
but
care.
God tells us in the New Testament as Christians, if we've got food and raiment, we got enough to be content.
But don't, let's not work ourselves too much where we can't
now,
care about people.
You know, in worldly standards,
let's
that's not a whole lot of stuff.
Let's not get to the point where we're so busy.
Food and raiment.
We forget.
Now, praise God for that.
We are.
That's
we're
enough for us
of
to
God
be happy
we're
with.
We're representatives
but
of God.
God didn't
people
promise us
the love of
wheat
God,
and the barley
the
and the pomegranates and the olive oil, the honey.
Not
I mean,
a bunch of people that's
he didn't
busy
promise us, verse number 9, a land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness.
Within these walls.
Those are things that God promised Israel. And so it's important for us to understand the difference. Turn with me now to chapter 28. You're already there in Deuteronomy.
What is
while we're here,
is
let's look at chapter 28.
They didn't give them their time. They didn't give
and a couple
what they
of verses
had.
Here. Deuteronomy
I believe
28.
They had means to do so.
Verse number 7.
But that's not
Deuteronomy 28,
the thought of
7.
Today's lesson. We come to the fourth character in here. And this is the Samaritan.
Here's what the Bible says. Deuteronomy
we understand
28,
who
7.
This was, right?
The
Samaritan in
this story
is a picture of
Jesus, enemies that
right?
rise up against
this was
thee
a man who,
to be
who
smitten
wasn't from
before
he was a stranger
thy face.
To that land.
They shall
he's
come out against thee one way
through
and flee he's, before
he was,
thee
he was
seven
not
ways.
From Judea,
look at verse
13. Where Jerusalem and Jericho was, where
and the
they
Lord
traveling
shall make thee
so
the
think,
head and not the tail.
Why
thou shalt
there?
Be above only, thou shalt not be beneath.
Seeking to
if thou hearken unto
was
the
lost
commandments
thank
of the Lord thy God,
God
which I
there
command thee this day.
He was there, he passed through, he came that way.
God had a special protection, a special physical protection
a certain
upon
Samaritan,
people.
Verse 33,
he
as
said,
he
hey,
was,
when your enemies
journeyed,
come before you, if you'll
down,
obey
like
me,
others,
I'll make sure
journeyed,
that not a one of them stand before
was
you. I'll smite them. I'll take care of you.
I will bless you.
I will protect you physically.
He came to me.
Well, we
he
see
came
it
where
quite,
he was.
A different
the Bible
picture
says,
in the New Testament.
And when
turn, if you will, to the book of
compassion.
Philippians now.
That was
I had to go there.
Missing
Philippians
with the priest and the Levite.
Let's see a few
if
things
they
here.
Just
Philippians
had compassion,
chapter 3.
If they would have took time and had to
look at
God in
their heart for
people,
whereas the nation of Israel is God's earthly people,
said, you know
we
what,
as the church, we're heavenly
that I have can wait.
The book of Ephesians says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Our blessings are not necessarily earthly and physical. Now,
help.
Praise God that we have those, but you know, the Bible
the
is a book to be preached in every nation, is it not?
Assistance. This man
and if we took this message to a third world country, wouldn't it be pretty crude if we tried to take some of those Old Testament blessings of physical, material things and apply them to Christians that lived in a third world country? Well, they would be scratching their heads wondering, well, what's wrong with us? What have we done that's wrong?
Death.
Right, and so sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our minds around these things as American Christians.
He was going down.
Now,
he was.
I thank God that I'm an American Christian. I enjoy the physical blessings of God. There's nothing wrong with being an American. I
want
to make that very clear.
But
to whom much is given, much is required.
When this Samaritan came through, he had compassion.
So Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 20. Philippians 3, 20. For our conversation, our citizenship is what that means. Our conversation is in heaven. That's our inheritance.
Walls, he covered
from whence
Amen.
Also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our conversation.
And then when he came to
it's
the end,
heaven.
Look what he did in verse 35.
First Peter,
he took
chapter
out
number
pence.
One.
He paid a price.
I'm sorry. First Peter, chapter number 2, says that we are a holy nation. We're a peculiar people.
To get this man
First Peter, chapter 1, says that our inheritance is one that fadeth not away.
And
it's incorruptible. It's one that's not defiled. It's our inheritance. It's not something you can necessarily see with your eyes and walk on with your feet. It's not a physical land. It's something that's eternal. It's something that's spiritual. We have spiritual blessings as God's New Testament people in our day. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see something interesting
from the pastor
here.
As he was
1 Corinthians chapter
things.
Number 4.
But
now, God told the nation of Israel, he said, when your enemies come before
story,
you, and you'll remember
you
this, even God told Joshua when they were taking the promised land. He said, there's not a nation going to be able to stand before you. I'll take care of every single one of them, Joshua. As long as you'll trust me, as long as you'll obey my commandments, I will take care of your enemies. You'll not have any problems. Well, you see quite a different story with those that obey God in the New Testament.
What God
all you have to do is read the book of Acts.
Part about.
And not
this
long after you see those apostles, they're
the
preaching
investor,
and they're obeying God.
The
they're preaching with the power of the Holy Ghost. And what's happening to them? They're getting whipped. They're getting beat. They're getting thrown in jail. They're getting in prison.
Took out 2 pence and gave
and so there's obviously a difference between the nation of Israel in the Old Testament and the New Testament church.
Those
of us in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 4, look if you will at verse number. Let's look at verse number 11.
I believe he represents us.
1 Corinthians 4, verse number 11.
Man that was wounded. Yes, we were.
Even unto this present hour, we both
some of you were
and thirst and are naked.
I mean, you were there.
Buffeted,
we were that
and have
man.
No certain dwelling place.
But now,
Paul said, that's
now
us.
You're different. Now you're sitting in church.
That was the way Paul lived.
Now you're saved. Now you
Testament
got a Bible in your lap.
Christian.
You're
right,
different.
So you see how we can get
I
really
that
mixed
brings
up
us to this man
is,
right here.
If we as New Testament Christians go into the Old Testament
learn from this truth?
And try
what
to pretend
from this story
and believe
about
that we are the nation of
that
Israel.
Can apply to our
because,
lives, what does God expect
you know, thank
from
God,
us?
I don't think there's anybody
the
here tonight
see, the
that
host,
has been where Paul is in verse 11.
Us.
I may be wrong. I don't know your life story tonight.
Is that what we need
but
to do?
You know what? We've got clothes. I don't think anybody here is in real hunger or thirsting.
Here's 2 pence.
God's taking care of us, but that's not outside of the realm of Christianity. It's happened to Christians through the years. And
that's
so there's certainly a difference in the origin and a difference in the calling of the New Testament church
of
the nation of
him.
Israel. Now, while we're right here in 1 Corinthians,
need,
I want to talk about the
wounded,
difference
the
in conduct a little bit. Look, if you will, at verse number 12 and verse number 13.
From death to life.
Here's what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 4,
them.
Verse number 12. He said, and labor, working with our own hands,
we're not
being
doing it
reviled,
our own resources,
look
what
he said, we
what
bless.
He pay for it?
Being
he said,
persecuted,
I'm giving you something
we suffer.
To help them.
Being defamed,
so not
we
only
entreat. We are made as
duty
the filth of the world.
He was given the
and
means
and are the offscouring
the
of all things unto this
I need
day.
You to help him. And here
he said,
is
man,
what
they
you need
mock
to do
us.
It.
They make fun of us. They revile us.
Does
he said,
God
you know what? We
gifts,
turn around and we bless.
Talents.
That's
why?
New Testament Christianity. Jesus said, you know what?
So we could use it to help others. So we can bless the body. So we can use it to benefit others.
Book of Romans says that as much as lieth within us,
God didn't give you gifts and talents.
We ought to live peaceably with all men.
You can keep it
to
yourself.
If it be possible, as much as lieth in you.
So what do I see here? I see that God made an investment. This Samaritan made an investment and said, I'm going to give you something.
Let's see what God said in the Old Testament. Turn back, if you will.
And when we apply that to our lives,
let's
we look
go
at
to
God
the,
has given
chapter
us
7 this time.
Many things. There's
Deuteronomy
different things
chapter
in the
7.
Room. What is your 2 pence? I don't know. But I do know what those 2 pence are for.
Deuteronomy
the same thing that my
2 7.
Pence were for. To help him. Right? What is your 2 pence?
Let's see what God told him to do.
I don't know. Some people have
their
a
enemies
gift
here.
Of seeing.
Deuteronomy 7, verse number
some
1 and verse
have
number
a,
2.
A gift of
the Bible says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou
some
goest to possess it,
just,
and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites,
and
the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. These are their enemies. Verse number 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy
God's
them, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them.
Him.
Now that's quite a different commandment.
Now we see that God's
invested. God's Old Testament
we,
people
I want you to turn with
and
me.
God's
place
New Testament
we'll come
people.
Back, but turn back with
God
me
said,
to Matthew.
I want you to utterly destroy them. I want you to smite them. I don't want you to show them mercy.
Story, Matthew chapter 25.
And we know why God did that. God's patience had ran out, and God gave them a time, and God was very patient with these nations. And their space of grace was over. And it was time for them to reap the consequences of their disobedience and their idolatry. And the judge of the earth always does right. God's not being unfair. He's not being unjust when he executes judgment upon these nations. So I want you to see that difference. And then one that you'll find interesting, those of us with children, or if there's any children here that still live in the house, go to chapter number 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21.
It says the kingdom of heaven is like unto
a
man traveling into a far country
and
called
his
own servants.
And
delivered
you've read
unto
about
them
before
his
what
goods.
They used to do with rebellious children.
And unto one
I'm
he
sure.
gave 5 talents,
and,
to another 2.
Those of us that were
to
rebellious,
one, to every man
time,
according to
we're
his several
thankful
abilities,
we didn't live in this
took his journey.
Or we wouldn't be here.
He that,
Deuteronomy
then,
21.
He that received 5 talents went and traded
verse number 18,
with the same and made them 5 other
Deuteronomy
talents.
Deuteronomy 21, 18.
Had
if a man have
two,
a stubborn and rebellious son. Anybody got one of those here tonight?
One went and dig in the earth.
All right, here's what you did back in those days.
After a long
which
time,
will not obey
of
the voice of his father or the voice
him.
Of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them.
Talents, saying, Lord, thou
so,
that,
so they've given him opportunity after
talents,
opportunity,
behold,
and he will not hearken. Then shall his father
more.
And his mother lay hold on
him well
and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.
Thou deliverest unto me
verse number 21,
behold,
and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that
this
he die.
Said unto him, well
so
done,
shalt thou put
evil thou
away from among you,
things,
and all Israel shall hear and
things.
Fear.
Enter thou
how about
into
that?
The joy of the Lord.
Then aren't we thankful that that's not
the
in the New Testament?
Came and said, Lord,
praise
I
the
knew
Lord.
Thee that thou art
Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son, didn't he?
Hast not sown,
and that son was being pretty rebellious.
And
when he came to himself,
he
went back to his father's house. And when his father came out to greet him,
thou hast
he didn't greet him with a pile of stones. He didn't greet him with the counsel ready to execute the death penalty. He ran, he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Brought forth a robe, put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and he said, hey, let's make merry. Sons came home. And don't you know that as the Jews heard Jesus begin to tell that story, that parable of the prodigal, that when he began to explain how rebellious this son was, that they were on the edge of their seat, they probably thought they knew what
was
coming
to them.
Because they had been told stories of what happened to rebellious, disobedient children. But when Jesus told the story about forgiveness and love and compassion, don't you know that that made them scratch their head?
Not that he just didn't gain more,
and what Jesus was trying to teach them was, no, I'm a compassionate God, and I'm going to have compassion on these Gentiles. You may not.
He hid it.
You may call me a friend of publicans and sinners, but that's exactly who I am. I'm going to give them an opportunity to repent.
I'm going to give it back.
And thank God that our Lord and Savior is a merciful, compassionate Savior that's a friend of sinners.
Wicked and sorrowful servant.
But aren't we glad that we don't live in Deuteronomy 21? I don't think the story is to teach us you don't have to hide behind something and think that our God's a mean, a vicious God. He's just in all of his doings. And this son was certainly given many opportunities to get right. We can see this son was a glutton. He was a drunkard. And I tell you what, God's judgment, it's sometimes more severe than we think.
He used what was given.
And sometimes we want to take it lightly and we think that God's just all of
it.
We certainly need to be balanced, don't we?
He used it.
God is a God of judgment.
He used it for the purpose he gave it to God.
And
it said, you know what?
Mercy. And so we definitely see a different
I'm going to give back
conduct
to him what he gave me.
In Old Testament Israel.
Not to use it for someone
New
else.
Testament church.
Not to use it for others.
Go with me now, if you will. Let's compare Leviticus 17 and Matthew 18.
A wicked and slothful servant.
All right,
Leviticus 17 and Matthew 18. And Luke chapter number 10.
And let's look at just one difference in their worship.
What if that same truth would have applied? What if he came back? Because he says, when I come again, what if he came back
and that man said, here's your two pence. And I'm just going to reference maybe a few of the others without turning there, but go to Leviticus 17
Matthew 18. That was for him. Yeah, but I figured he could have made it on his own. You already helped him. You gave him wine. You gave him oil. You bound up his wounds. I think he could have made it.
Tonight I brought my Bible that
he didn't need my help.
Stick together.
Here's your two pence back. How do you think
not
he would have responded?
That. Leviticus 17, Matthew 18.
When we know that this is the
Lord,
there's
also a difference in worship.
How do you think he's going to respond to us?
Now we know that.
How do you think he's
going
to respond
obvious,
to us right?
when
comes
Israel
back,
worshiped God? They were given instructions to build a tabernacle exactly to spec. There was bloodshed. It was gruesome.
Did
there were animal sacrifices. They were in many ways distant from God. Only they could go through a mediator, a priest. It's the only way they could approach God, and that
care.
Was the way that
whatever
they had
be,
to worship
said,
in the Old Testament. But now we know, thank God, the New Testament is much
what
different.
You gave me.
We have access to go directly with boldness to the throne of grace. We can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible calls us priests. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. Listen, I don't have to go and confess my sin to a priest.
That's not what I wanted you to do with
it.
Listen,
if I want to do business with God, I don't even have to get the pastor or a teacher or a deacon to come down here and pray with me. That's wonderful if I choose to, but if I want to, as a Christian, I can come and have direct access to God's throne. And if you're saved, you can too. That's quite a difference, isn't it?
It's not.
That's quite a difference.
For you.
Now, Leviticus chapter 17, the Bible says this, verse number 8 and verse number 9.
It's for you to use for others.
Leviticus 17, 8 and 9.
As this host,
thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house
of
Israel or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it to the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. God said there's one way that you get in here. You get in by the door. And we know that the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't have time to go into all that. But if you wanted to worship in the Old Testament, you had to go through the door of that tabernacle. You had to bring a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. And you had to go through all of these ordinances. Bring the sacrifice that was without blemish, the firstborn. And I mean, just I'm telling you, it was quite an ordeal to worship God in the Old Testament. And now we turn over to Matthew and we see just how different this is. Matthew 18, verse 20. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name,
see, God's an investor.
There am I in the midst of them.
When he gives us
Jesus
things,
said, if there's two of you,
to do stuff
three
with
of you, and you're saved,
he expects us
you can have church. That's what our missionaries are
do
doing.
Do more. As
they
you
get
see
started
here
out, right?
In verse 35.
Thank goodness. They don't have to go over there and build a tabernacle. They don't have to go over there and even build a building. Thank God for church buildings. I think they have their place, and I think they should.
But that wasn't all that was
But if you're
expected.
A missionary going to a foreign country, and it's just you to begin with, and your wife and your son or daughter, you can have church.
Stop there.
Amen.
Said,
you don't have to bring an animal sacrifice. Jesus' blood satisfied the demands of God, and you can go right into the presence of God. And you can worship God.
Didn't
Amen.
Say if you spend
so,
more.
Thank the Lord for that. There's
said,
certainly a
whatever
difference.
You spend more.
And we could look at some more verses, but for
I'll
the sake of time, I want you to see
I'll
a couple of verses that deal with
so
the
God
differences
wants us not
in the
only
future of the nation of Israel
what he's given
and the church.
So, he also wants us to go beyond
tonight,
that. He wants us to give more.
Concerning this,
to
let's
say,
go to
God's
the book
given
of
me
Jeremiah.
This talent. Some people use that excuse.
And
to say,
I tell you what, find Zephaniah.
I know what my talent is, and that's what
that
I'm doing.
Jeremiah
helping this
and
area.
Zephaniah.
Well,
when's the last
talent.
Time we was at church and had to go to Jeremiah and Zephaniah?
We need
at the same
nursery
time,
workers.
Amen.
That's not my talent. We need bus workers. That's not my talent.
Jeremiah and Zephaniah.
That's not what God's given me, so
I'm not sure I've ever preached out of Zephaniah, maybe referenced it a couple of times.
God, again,
but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and
equipped
profitable.
You with what you need, but he wants more.
So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23.
That is when he comes back and you say, you know what? I've used my talents. I've done
Zephaniah,
what you asked me to do. I've done what you've given me, but I've also done this. I've also done
now,
that.
Now, I'm just going to mention this because we've preached it and we've taught on it a lot here recently. The future is the rapture.
I gave
at any moment, Jesus could step down on the clouds and we could hear the trumpet and the shout, the voice of the archangel. And listen, we could be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
We talk about
that's
the
our
rewards
future.
When we get to heaven.
And
but
one
that's
day,
not for the people
while this world's going through
what he's given
a tribulation,
you.
Listen, we're going to be at the marriage supper of the
he's
Lamb.
Given
we
you
have
and
a
he
wonderful
you.
Future
that's what you're
ahead
supposed
of us.
To do.
Praise the Lord. And you know what? Israel, their immediate future, we may deal with in the next time. We may deal with the tribulation period, which has a primarily a Jewish emphasis. And we may deal with that, the Lord willing, next time. But they're ultimate. They're big pictures. God's
going to
restore that nation.
Going to hell, and I've got to give.
God is going to restore that nation. He has promised that he was going to.
I've got to.
I want to show you a few of those promises.
Because I care. Because there's a love in my heart and a compassion,
if you will, at
for this man and this lady, this child that needs help.
Here's what the Bible
says. Give me this,
behold,
I'm going to
the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, capital
when
B,
he comes back,
and a king, capital K, say, shall
well,
reign and prosper and
that.
Shall
no,
execute judgment and justice
come
in the
again,
earth.
I will
you got to interpret
paid.
That literally. One day, there's
I
coming
a
king,
a
the righteous branch, and he is
going to
execute
one.
Judgment and justice where?
Why did
in
he
the
go
earth.
To the end?
It's referring to the literal 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Verse number 6, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness.
Let's go down to the Holiday Inn. This man's sick and
he's
dying. Let's take him to the Holiday Inn.
Jesus Christ has not came and sat upon the throne and ruled over this earth.
You put him in that ambulance.
So if it hasn't happened yet, and God said it was going to happen.
Hospital.
Well, it's just future.
Take him
it's
to the physician.
That's
take
the future
to the
for the nation of Israel.
To
now
the,
turn to that verse in Zephaniah.
End?
All right, Zephaniah chapter 3.
It gets me thinking.
Now, if
why
nothing
would he
else.
Do that? And then to give this man money.
We
and
we
say,
could also go away from here tonight. We can
him.
Know about this. God's going to be faithful
come
to
back
his word.
And I'll pay you.
Every promise God's ever made in the past, he has kept. Every prophecy has been fulfilled. And so God's going
to
honor his word. Listen, you may look around at this world and you may think, man,
there
is chaos. This world's going crazy, and it has.
Take his word for it. Okay,
but can I tell you, King Jesus,
hopefully
he's going to come down and he's going to rule with a rod of iron, and he's going to make it right.
You're a Samaritan.
He's going to rule in righteousness. And listen, every wrong's going
to
be made right.
I expect you to come back down here.
Those that thought they got away with it, they're going to find out that they didn't. And those that did the right thing are going to be rewarded.
Investment I'm going to put
and listen, I take great comfort
why?
In that.
Why would
things
he
may seem like they're out of control, but there's a God
say,
in heaven.
Okay.
He's sitting on his throne. And one day he's going to be sitting on his throne on earth.
Met him before.
That's right.
Could it be
Zephaniah chapter
host,
number 3. Look, if you will, at
back
verse
in
number
his past,
14.
Traveled that same road.
Zephaniah 3:14.
From Jericho down to from Jerusalem going down
sing,
to Jericho.
O
he came across the same thieves.
Israel. Shout, O Israel.
Left him half dead.
Be glad and rejoice with all the heart,
people
O daughter of Jerusalem.
Never helped,
very clear
he
who the primary reference is here, the nation of Israel.
Someone who
verse number 15. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments.
Someone who reached down and picked him up
he
and bound
cast
up his
out
wounds
thine enemy.
And poured
now,
in the oil and lifted him up and carried him down
I
to
mean,
get
Israel's
some help.
Israel's got enemies everywhere. They've
when
had
he saw that face
since they began as a nation.
Of a man asking,
one, so this hasn't happened yet.
This man.
But there's a prophecy here where
the
prophet's saying, sing! Rejoice.
He's the one that helped me.
The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy.
I know he's
the
good
king
for
of Israel,
so
even the
so
Lord, is
him.
In the midst of thee. Thou
it's
shalt not see evil anymore.
To help this man. It's nothing for me
praise
to reach down in my pocket.
That's the future
and
of that
help
nation.
This man knowing
God's
that he's
going
to
execute that promise. And he said,
you he's
know what?
Back
you ought to sing
gonna
about
repay
that.
Me anything that
when
I spend
Jesus
more
comes
if,
and sits
if it's
on
too much,
throne,
he's
going to
give it back.
Evil,
I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. I know that face. I know that voice. I know that man. He's coming back.
The nation of Israel, the persecution.
I believe because this is us.
And that's going to be a happy day.
The host is us.
Praise the Lord for the difference in future. Now,
is the Lord, and we were that man.
I want you to turn to a few verses.
We were that man out there. We were that man that needed help, and he helped us.
Philippians chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter number 11. Okay? And that'll be our final two. And this is in conclusion. So Philippians chapter number 3
other Christians that reached out and said, I'm going to teach you in Sunday school class. I'm going to teach you the Word of God. I'm going to take you out and teach you how to go soul winning. I'm gonna teach you how to read the Bible and how to study the Bible and help you to grow and to get healing and to get stronger and to where now God's calling on you.
Now these things can help us in many ways. Some of the just the practical ways that it can help us is
you've been healed.
When we understand
you've been
God's
clothed.
Purpose for us as the church, it can
you've
help give us purpose.
You've had your wounds bound up.
Okay, our focus now should be on the conversion of individuals.
Else.
That's our not the reformation of society. Okay, we're not trying to reform society. Jesus is going to do that. He's going to take care of that. We are to preach the gospel to every creature, and we're concerned about the souls of men.
But now I got
primarily their physical well-being.
I need it. I need it for me.
Now there's a place for that in God's work, but we're primarily concerned about the eternal souls of men, women, boys, and girls. So it can give us purpose. It can also help us determine our priorities, okay? We should be concerned with spiritual blessings primarily, material things secondarily, okay? Primarily, we're concerned about spiritual things, secondarily about material things. So it'll help us realize where our focus should be. And then our primary identity is in Jesus Christ.
We forget that we were half
dead. I'll give you that illustration. Listen, we all come from different families, different backgrounds. There may be different nationalities here. But if you're saved,
we
I'm saved. Our primary identity is found in Jesus
Why? Because
Christ.
We forget.
Amen. All right. Now, there's a few places in your Bible.
Paid.
And I wanted to reference this because I want to be honest with you. I just want to show you some verses. We could go to Colossians, Galatians, Romans. There's a few verses in your Bible where God refers to the church as Israel. Okay?
And
he's drawing a picture. And what he's saying is there's some similarities. Okay. Now, I've been telling you for 3 weeks now that the nation of Israel and the church are different, and they
are.
You have to let the context define the Word of God. So there's some places where God's saying, he uses circumcision, for example, in Colossians chapter 2, and he says, you know what, the circumcision that you have of the church, it's a spiritual operation. God wants to cut away the flesh. He wants you to mortify the members of your body, and he doesn't want you to be controlled by your flesh. And so Paul says, that's what circumcision is like to us in the New Testament. It's not the physical, literal, Old Testament circumcision. And so he's drawing some pictures here in the New Testament. He's saying, you know what, there's some things, there's some applications that we can take from the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, and we can apply those principles to the church. Let me give you another example. The book of Joshua, that's Old Testament. What did God tell them to do, the children of Israel? I want you to cross over Jordan. I want you to smite the enemies. I want you to possess the land.
People with different talents.
Now, God doesn't want us to literally,
God has just put them in.
Go across the river on dry
just
ground.
The right time.
Kill all
we
the
had
enemies
a need,
and take
and
the land.
We were okay? doing this.
There
and
have been
perfect
religions
people
that
God
they've tried. They've
What's
accomplished
God doing?
It. That's not what God wants us to do. But
he's
what we can know from that is
church.
We can
not
preach the victorious Christian life. If we'll trust God, if we'll obey his commandments, God will give us victory over our enemies.
Keep it for ourselves.
Because Paul says, Timothy, all scripture is profitable. All of it's given by inspiration of God. You can take Old Testament truth and you can find the spiritual application for New Testament people.
He knows.
Okay? Look, if you will, Philippians chapter 3. Verse number 3. This is just one example.
I don't know if we have any investors.
And Paul says this, for we are the circumcision.
I'd probably fail me.
So you would say, well, wait a minute. He's talking to the church at Philippi.
I don't know
that's
the ins and outs.
Gentile
some people know.
Believers.
They can look at things.
They're part of the church. He said,
we
are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh.
What,
and so there's going to be a few times in your Bible when you're going to see that we're referred to as the circumcision or a spiritual Jew or they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. That's mentioned in Romans chapter number 9. And what he's just simply trying to help us understand is that, you know what? If you're saved, there are some similarities. You're the people of God, just like the nation of Israel was in the Old Testament.
What God is doing here,
there's a clear distinction all through God's word in the physical nation of Israel and the New Testament spiritual people of the church. Okay? Now we'll finish with one verse in Hebrews chapter 11.
For us. If we just say,
this
let's
for nothing
build
else,
a beautiful
I just want
building.
You to reflect on this.
So
we'll have a word of prayer. I want you to just reflect on this.
Beautiful.
And if nothing else, we can leave here tonight saying, thank God.
Is that why? No.
Thank God for this. Look at Hebrews 11,
let's use
verse number
God
40. You've already heard
say,
about
you know
Hebrews
God,
11 on
to
Sunday.
Much, to whom much is given, much
by faith,
is
and we have all of these Old Testament
what is
examples.
It? Required.
And then verse 39, he says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Why? God having provided some better thing for us.
Yet he's given our church.
That's where I say just praise the Lord.
Let's not lose focus on what it's all about.
That they without us should not be made perfect.
Giving you this, help.
I'm not going to go into everything I believe that verse is talking about, but I just think on the surface,
let's not
God has provided something better for us.
Care,
I'm glad tonight I don't have to bring the firstborn of my
whatsoever thou spendest of my expect you
cattle
to use with,
and
use
bring it to the door of a congregation and offer it as a sacrifice and go through all of those rituals. I'm glad tonight I can come to
spend
a New
more,
Testament church,
and then when I
and
come
I can
again,
fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. We can open up the Word
mark
of God.
Down,
we can preach.
I don't think
we can teach.
Have any doubt.
We can fellowship
I
one
have
with
no
another.
Doubt.
We can go out and we can preach
He's
the gospel.
Back.
I'm telling you, God's provided something better
and
for
I
us.
I have no doubt.
And I praise
that
His
if
name.
If I invest,
amen.
And I go beyond
tonight,
what God's gave me the ability to do, and I go beyond
about the nation
the
of Israel,
gifts
the
that God's given me.
Maybe you don't need this today, but somebody may come knocking on your door one day.
No doubt.
Or maybe a coworker will come to you and they'll have something that they want to share.
Once
they're
going to
take a verse from over there in Deuteronomy or take a verse from one of those prophets and they're
going
to bring it over to our day and they're going to say, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And you're going to say, nope.
You ever been there?
Nope. We live in a different
age now. I need to borrow $20.
And, you know what? We're to be ready to give
an
answer to
everything. You're thinking, can I lose that $20? Because I'm not sure they're going to give it back.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your...
Right? You been there? I ain't got one bit of doubt. I ain't got one bit of worry that if I invest more, he's not good for it. And this host didn't either. And that's us. He's coming back and he's going to repay. Not the 2 pence. We spend that, that's what we're supposed to do. He's not repaying the 2 pence. He's repaying whatsoever thou spendest more. Let's get busy serving God and for the purpose that God's given us those gifts. Help him. Help him. Let's all stand.